In the name of the Good Shepherd, Jesus, dear fellow sheep. Growing up, I knew what a shepherd and sheep looked like, and I knew the terrain that a shepherd took his sheep and cared for them. I knew it in detail. I had a vivid picture in my mind, and it's not because I had any direct access with shepherding. I grew up in the city in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. But I knew it because when I went to my Lutheran grade school or Sunday school, we had pictures of a good shepherd and sheep. We had a number of them. Beautiful posters that I think were made in about 1951 or so, but there was Jesus, the good shepherd, in flowing robes, perfectly groomed. Surrounding Jesus were fluffy white sheep that you just wanted to snuggle with. Cute little sheep. And they were always in this beautiful setting, the verdant pastures, verdant ardent pastures that we sang about. It's like Jesus and the sheep had won an all-inclusive week in the hills of Ireland. Because surrounding Jesus and these sheep were just rolling fields of green grass. And it seemed like it was impossible to even see all of the sheep because the grass was so thick and so green. It was like a lawn seed commercial. It was incredible. And I thought, that's a sheep. That's a shepherd. That's what it looks like. And I thought of that when we'd hear pieces of scripture like we are today. Psalm 23, John 10. So I was all excited a number of years ago when I got to go to Israel, and our guide told us on day one that we were going to see a real life shepherd. Not just the picture from 1951. We were going to see one in real life taking care of the sheep. And I thought, oh, this is going to be so good. I'm going to take pictures of this. And so we drove in our bus. And I'm thinking it was going to be a long way to get to where the shepherd was taking care of his sheep. But the bus stopped, and I thought, oh no, what happened? Because I looked around, and we were in the middle of the desert, and I thought, this is not good. If we're out of gas, we're all going to die, and the vultures will eat us. But I thought, this is not good. And then the guide gets on the microphone and says,
now we've come to the pasture land.
The pasture land? What? How much did we pay you for this tour? And he says, there's a shepherd right over there. And I looked out, and sure enough, there is someone wandering in the middle of the desert. But he didn't look like he had flowing white robes on. He had turbans and bandanas and was kind of dirty looking. And I looked to find the sheep, and yeah, oh yeah, I guess, are those sheep too? Because the sheep didn't look white and puffy and fluffy like I remember. They looked dirty and kind of nasty. And I thought, what in the world? This isn't what the picture looks like in my mind. Is this the reject shepherd? Is this the where they go to exile if they're not good shepherds? They said, no, this is the normal place where shepherds do their thing. I thought, well, I better take a picture of that so I can compare. Just for a note, the picture I took is on the back of your worship folder. The top picture is what I grabbed off the internet. It's a modern rendition of the picture that's still out there today. The Lord is my shepherd. See all those white fluffy sheep in Ireland? And the one below it, there's the shepherd. Now, yes, those are donkeys around, and the sheep are just out of the shot. I have other pictures of the sheep if you want to see them. But that's the terrain. That's where the shepherd is doing his thing in Israel. And that's the picture that would have come to mind 2,000 years ago on the first Good Shepherd Sunday or Monday. It was actually Thursday. When Jesus was saying these words, and he says, I am the good shepherd, you are sheep, and this is what I will do for you. Unlike all of our pictures of green, lush landscapes, cute, fluffy sheep and a loving shepherd, his audience probably would have said, "What? Time out. You're calling us sheep? Those are dirty, nasty animals, and you're going to be our good shepherd? I don't know about this. The shepherds are people that are kind of the fringe of society, and you're going to lead us like a shepherd leads sheep?" Oh. The same words that give our hearts such comfort might have given their ears a little bit of discomfort when Jesus' audience first heard this. But if you can get that picture in your mind of a desolate landscape full of rocky terrain where thieves could be hiding who are going to steal the sheep for their own, or where wolves or other predators could be hiding who are going to eat the sheep, or where a cliff might be not hiding but in plain sight, but since sheep have such bad eyesight they might walk right off of it, and not much to eat and not much to drink, then you realize the depth of importance when Jesus says these words in verses 3 and 5 of our text. "The sheep hear his, the shepherd's voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." The only way that those sheep are going to live in that rocky desert region is by sticking close to the shepherd and hearing his voice, listening to his voice. Unlike Ireland, where shepherds often move flocks with dogs from behind, in Palestine, shepherds don't use dogs as much. They more use their voice. They go ahead and they call, and the sheep hear and the sheep follow. That's the only way that they will live. And if the sheep says, "You know, this voice is boring. I've listened to this voice for most of my life. And this desert doesn't look good. I bet there's green pastures right over that cliff." If the sheep then decides to get away, and the sheep says, "I don't need these other sheep near me either. They're kind of dirty and they annoy me. I'm just going to go off on my own." The sheep will die. It's that simple. This is a parable. An earthly illustration with a spiritual heavenly meaning. And Jesus' first audience didn't quite get it at first. He had to explain it a little bit more. But he goes on to say, "I am both the gate for the sheep, and I am the good shepherd too. And here's the picture. You listen to my voice, you'll be safe. You walk away from me, you will die." It's that simple. Real sheep hear the voice of the shepherd and stick close. And if they hear a stranger's voice, they say, "This isn't right," and they run away. They want to be near that shepherd. He says, "That's the relationship that I want with you and that you need with me, because you cannot do this on your own. There are voices that will call to you with lies and say, 'Come here. You don't need him. Come here.' There's voices from your own mind or heart that will say, 'I know the way to go. I don't need him.' But you will die." And it's a beautiful picture, sheep sticking that close to their shepherd, but it's not as beautiful when I look in my own life. The sheep hear his voice and they follow, but a stranger they will not follow. The stranger they will flee from him. They will run away from the stranger. Oh, I wish that were true in my life all the time. How about you? We hear so many voices around us that are not the voice of our shepherd. And the problem can be over time we hear these voices again and again and again and again and again. Instead of sounding dangerous, well, they just kind of blend in with all the other noise that we hear. Inundated by voice after voice that says, "Is Jesus really the way?" This is 2017. Aren't you being a little medieval, a little intolerant? Jesus the way? Isn't Buddha the way? Could Muhammad be the way? Is Mother Earth the way? Maybe you're the way. Maybe the way is inside of you. And you need to become authentic and become one with your own thoughts and feelings. Pursue your own happiness, and that'll be the way. I don't know who's to say what the way is. Or we hear other voices that say, yeah, God's the way and heaven's coming, but life is hard now, so do something to ease your pain. Because this whole Jesus being the good shepherd, he's going to fulfill all your needs, that sounds nice in a hymn verse. But is he really going to take care of your pain and your suffering? In fact, you have some pains and problems and sufferings that you don't know the answer to, and he doesn't seem to be too quick to fix. So maybe you should take things into your own hands. What do you need to eat? What do you need to drink? What do you need to inject? What do you need to accomplish? What do you need to buy? What do you need to save? So that you can feel a little bit better for at least one more moment. If someone liked you, would that make it better? What do you need to like yourself? Why don't you think about those things? And if you listen to his voice eventually, that's fine. You can show up at church if you want, but you know. We get distracted and pulled by all these other voices. And we think there are greener pastures elsewhere, and well, Jesus said what happens. The thief comes to destroy. Maybe you've been down those paths where you said, yes, this voice, this sin, this is what I needed. This fruit from this tree, if I just take a bite, then life will be better. Then I'll be enlightened and happy. And the voice that was not the shepherd burns you and abuses you and destroys you. And the sin that was not in the way of the shepherd becomes guilt in your heart and pierces your heart. You find that all those other voices leave you wanting more, and it's not enough. Those voices come to destroy. And our shepherd would be justified to destroy us. There's only so much one can take of dumb sheep wandering off. And if you and I would be so arrogant as to say, we don't really need you, we can do our own thing, he would be right to say, okay, give it a try. Why do I need you? You're dirty. You're sheep. But what profound love we see in those words where it says, our shepherd goes before us. Martin Luther called this the most beautiful sermon of Jesus Christ ever preached, these 10 verses, where our good shepherd goes before us. And what does that mean? He doesn't only go before us to protect us and guide us, but he went before us to the cross. He knew he couldn't just show his sheep a way to get to heaven. He knew he needed to be the way for his sheep to get to heaven. The point of that is not a closed-minded, intolerant thing. The point of that is a beautiful, liberating, freeing thing. He knew he had to do for sheep what they could never do for themselves, live a perfect life, perfectly listening to the voice of his Father and the Word. He lived a life free of shameful and dirty sin, and he died for sheep on the cross. The shepherd died for sheep who love to wander. He went before us through death and hell. He went before us through the grave and rose again. So that now as we follow, we are cleansed, we are healed, we're forgiven, we're his sheep, but now we can do this. He can call us each by name. And the picture of that is not a harsh name. It's not just calling out to sheep in general. Hey, you fluffy, dirty things, keep going. Hey, you, fluff ball number 41, move it. It's not like that, no. It means he knows us personally. He loves us individually. He knows you by name. And he says that you belong to him. He will carry you on his arms. He will call you. He will know you. He will forgive you personally. He will cleanse you, and he will lead you all of your days. And as you listen to his voice in the Word, he will give you life, and he will give it to the full. Now, one final note on that picture. When it says that he has come to give you life and give it to the full, when we sing about that, he's going to lead us into green pastures. Don't expect necessarily that tomorrow you will wake up in Ireland, so to speak, with the grass growing over your head and so many blessings pouring out and flowing out that you don't know what to do. So many new cars in your driveway and so much money in your bank account. So many problems gone because you listen to the shepherd's voice. It's just the opposite. You know what sheep will do at times? If they're left by themselves, they will eat and they will eat and they will eat and they will bloat themselves to death. So what the shepherd does at times is he takes that rod. Yeah, he uses to defend the sheep from wolves, but he uses to nudge them and move them to places they don't want to go to. He makes them uncomfortable, allows them to even suffer at times. Why? Because he's more concerned about their long-term health than their short-term happiness. He doesn't just want to give them the life they've always wanted now. He wants to give them the life he has in mind for them forever. And so his idea of life to the full might be a little different than yours, and his idea of green pastures might be different than yours. That picture that's on the back of your worship folder again, that rocky terrain. Do you know that the sheep eat there? Do they eat rocks? No, this is what happens. There's so few natural resources in this part of Israel that you have dew in the night, and that dew makes tiny little green plants, just the tiniest of grass, grow in the corners and crevices of the rocks that are on the ground. And the shepherd knows where this is. And then day by day, the sheep come and they eat that little grass, and it's only enough for that day. They can't stay there. They don't have grass growing over their heads, so the next day, once again, they have to follow the shepherd's voice until he leads them one more day to what they need. Day by day by day, they trust. They only have enough for that day. What's going to happen the next day? They need to trust that the good shepherd will provide. And doesn't he lead you and I like that too? But shepherd, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow and next week and next month. Am I going to have enough? What's going to happen? He says, shh, listen to my voice. Day by day I will provide. But it looks like I'm in the middle of the valley, the shadow of death here. This doesn't look like Ireland. He says, shh, even in suffering I will provide. You will hear me. You will live, you will have life now, and you will have it to the full. You will have a relationship with me, and you will live with me forever in heaven. And then one day, at the end of all of this suffering, you will see the pasture lands that I have prepared for you. And there will be no pain or sickness or mourning or death, but you will live forever with me in heaven. That's where you are heading. That's where your good shepherd is leading you. He will never betray you. He will never leave you. In life or in death, listen to his voice. You're his sheep. He's your shepherd. Oh, what a beautiful picture. Amen.